Here's what it takes to hook in Tapestry into WebXML to bring it to life. You map the servlet, you map it to some name here, and then so you create servlet the definition here, and then you map it to a URL. This is generally the URL that you map it to. It's just the convention. And you also there's a redirect filter that will redirect into this URL if you want to hook that in, so that when somebody requests to the home page, it automatically redirects into this. Now you're within Tapestry's domain, and everything being served through it. This app name is important when you start writing the configuration file for it. It maps to an XML file, .application file, by this app name. So you can, and you can have multiple Tapestry applications mapped to this servlet if you like. And that's how you can get different URL paths if you need to. Pages. To develop a Tapestry page, it's got a plain HTML template. There's one small piece that binds that each of the components into a richer model under the covers. And we'll see a couple of different styles of how you can do those bindings between the component world and the template world. There's a configuration file that's called a specification, the .page file that sits between the template and your Java model, essentially, under the covers, and it controls the bindings. You can do the bindings more or less implicitly inside of the HTML files if you're not a purist. If you want to write ugly-looking templates, you can do so and omit some of the specification stuff. Or you can have very, very clean templates and put more of the bindings configuration in this XML file that sits between the two. This is very much like web objects, where there's a file in between the two, the glue. And in your Java code, you can have code that it initializes, sets the page up. You have your listener methods, which is what happens when you click on hyperlinks or submit forms. We'll see how far these slides take us, and then I'll show you this stuff dynamically here. What we're going to build is a synonym search engine. In writing the book on Lucene, I've been playing with WordNet, which is a database of about 40,000 words, and it's all hyperlinked synonyms. And what I did is put a web GUI front end. I am not a web designer, so it's not going to look beautiful. It's going to look like I'm a coder writing a web application. But that's the way I write the applications at work, and we have somebody that makes it really pretty. In fact, in the second half, I'm going to demonstrate the application that we do at work, and it's very sophisticated and very pretty looking. So we got plain HTML here. This, our designer gave us this mock-up, and fictitious designer, and we're going to bring this to life with Tapestry. Okay? So let's just go ahead and start doing this dynamically, and we'll see how far we get. I have this project staged so I can jump to different stages of it if we need to. If I get to one point where I'm just totally confused and have screwed it up, we can bail out a little bit. So the first thing I want to do, let me just show you what it looks like in the browser. First of all, I'm navigating to home.html. This home.html is at the root of my web application. It's just underneath of the web apps, underneath of the context root, basically. And that's the default page for Tapestry. Tapestry serves up home.html as soon as you get into the application. Over here, I've navigated to /app, and there's absolutely no other configuration going on under the covers here. What we see here is, here's the web root, and I've got home.html, and I have web.xml. That's all I have so far. I don't have any other configuration. There's no other struts config, no other configuration there. And so my web.xml has this redirect filter in there. And all that does is take any URLs that come in to slash and redirect them to /app. For example, if I come over here and navigate to this, it redirects me right into /app there. That's all that's doing. So we don't need that if you don't want that. And that's all my WebXML has in it. And then my home HTML is here. I can actually even submit this form, and all it does is go back to the same page. There's nothing alive under the covers. Okay. So the first thing we're going to do.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
That directory structure. What is that under right now?
What is this directory structure?
Yeah, it's under
right there.
Okay.
I have it external to Tomcat's web apps directory.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It is external, but I have there's a Catalina conf Catalina localhost.
Oh, right.
XML file you can create that points it to somewhere else. I have one of those.
Okay.
So I'm completely working underneath of where Tomcat's pointing its root for that.
Okay.
And when I change one of these files, it'll be dynamically alive.
Okay.
I do have one trick in there that is there's a switch in Tapestry, a system property that you can set to launch Tomcat, and that turns off caching. So there's caching on pages that get parsed, for example. And if you have that on, then you can't work dynamically like we're doing. So absolutely nothing's being cached. At the end of the request cycle of the container, Tapestry gets rid of everything that it just created if that system property is set. So that's a development time switch. If we did a view source right now, even though we're going through the servlet, we're going to see the exact same HTML that we see in my IDE. Okay? No changes. What we're going to do here, though, is start bringing this thing to life. First thing we do, we put a JWC ID on our form. JWC ID, Java Web Component ID. This can be a name that you make up, and then in the specification file, you declare that name and tell it what component type it is. And then you can define all the parameters that component takes there. I'm going to work in the fast and loose mode for a little while. We'll formalize it in a bit and do that separation. In Tapestry 3.0, there's a different style that you can do, and it's the hacker style, not the purist style. You can declare the components implicitly here, informally, and I can say, use the form component. That sign just says, I'm telling it what component type to use. By simply doing that, I've brought this page to life, and when I refresh over here, it now processed it through Tapestry's engine, and the components came to life, and we can look at the HTML, and you can see it's different than what we just saw in the browser. I mean, in IntelliJ. It brought the form to life, it put the action there, it's done some hidden fields. This is just Tapestry's handling the plumbing for you. Done some glue there. Okay? Don't concern yourself about this kind of stuff. It just works, and it has some stuff to track some state, keep track of some things. But that's what happened when we put the form component in there, as it created that HTML. Okay. The next thing we're going to do is bring the form, the text box to life. So I put a JWC ID on the input box. There's a text field component. The text field component binds to some value. Now, for my web designer gave me a prototype that had a value already hard-coded in there. If I do this, save this guy, and come over here, it will render just fine. Value equals Tapestry. When I submit, we're going to see the beautiful error page. Right, let me shrink that down a little bit. See something like this. This is the line precise error reporting in Tapestry. I figured I'd go ahead and show you just in case I'm completely perfect and don't screw up the rest of the presentation. Very unlikely. It says binding value may not be updated. Binding value. The text field component takes a parameter called value. We have hard-coded something in here. There is no placeholder currently for that value to go back into when we submit. So now what we need to do is create a placeholder for that. There's a lot of ways you can do that. You can bind it directly into your model somewhere. And you can define it in any object that you can navigate to from the page. But you can also have the page itself be placeholders for some of these things. Take a leap of faith with me here for a second. What I'm going to do is put an expression in here called ogmal colon word. Ogmal. Anybody familiar with ogmal? Paul? ogmal stands for Object Graph Navigation Language. It's very, very slick. If you use WebArc 2, you're using Augur. It's under the covers of that. It's the expression language, just the binding language between beans and your model, between the pages and their model. It's very elegant. I'll go into a little bit more detail on Augur in a bit. But basically, if you use struts, you've used bean utils, and you use the dotted syntax to get at properties, right? To get at Java beans. For now, you can just have faith that that's what it's like. Now, where is this word? Where does this word live as placeholder? Well, now we need to actually add a configuration file. So we're going to create a tapestry page file. I have a template that's going to create it for me that I've defined in IntelliJ. It's just a very short little template, a little XML skeleton here. And so this is what a page specification looks like. It's bound to a DTD, so I'm going to get all kinds of nice pop-up help when I hit the less than here. I create a property specification, and I call it word. That's all I have to do to have a placeholder for my form to submit something into. Still no Java code, one line of XML basically. Now when I come over here and start from scratch, bump the size up a little bit here. Notice there's no value there. Remember that value tapestry? When we did it live, now we're going through the servlet. The servlet's bound to this property. Default value for the property, for an object property, is null. And the text box doesn't render anything with a null value.